the calling, the gifts and the calling upon the Jews is to reveal God to the nations. Those nations backslid, but God loves them.
Today, Gloria Copeland and special guest Billy Brim reveal the origin of the nations and the plan of God to use those nations to bless His chosen people, the nation of Israel. Next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland, and our special friends with us, Billy Brim from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. Welcome, Billy.
Thank you very much.
And she's given us some great news.
Jesus is coming.
Jesus is coming and soon. Hallelujah.
And the signs of His coming are everywhere abounding. Now, when Jesus was asked by His apostles, disciples, what is the sign of your parousia, your coming as a king, an emperor to set up this earthly kingdom, He said, watch the fig tree, Luke 21:29, and all the trees. We've been watching the fig tree. Now we're going to watch the other trees, the nations of Bible prophecy. If we're to watch them, what are we supposed to do? Just turn on the TV and watch Israel? No. Turn on the TV, watch Egypt? No. We're supposed to know what the Bible says will be happening with them in the last days. And then we can tell what time it is. And that's what it says in Peter. Peter said to them in 2 Peter 1:19, we have a more sure word of Propheticos, or the Old Testament prophets, whereunto you do well to take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place. There have been a lot of dark things happening on this earth. But there's a light shining. And we can look at that light. It's in the Old Testament prophets. It'll give us light on the subjects of what's happening all around us, all around the world. You do well that you take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise. In your hearts knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Now, like for instance today, tomorrow, we're going to look at Egypt. So we won't just look at one isolated Scripture on Egypt. We'll look at what Isaiah said about Egypt and what Zechariah said about Egypt and what the whole Bible says about Egypt, and it harmonizes.
Praise God.
Verse 21, for the prophecies came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost moved upon these Old Testament prophets, and Old Testament prophets wrote down the things that we're watching right now. And so to watch the trees or the other nations, you have to look in the Bible where the nations were introduced to us. And let's go to Genesis chapter 10. And we know that love had brought judgment. Love brought a flood. Everyone was destroyed except for 8 people. There was only one man in his family that had knowledge of God left. Got pretty close there for mankind.
Yes, it did.
That was Noah, his wife, and his 3 sons and their wives. So when they got off that ship, off that boat, then we find how the nations were born. And this is in Genesis chapter 10. It tells us where they come from, who's the father of which nation. He had 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japhet. And this is in Genesis 10. Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japhet. And unto them were sons born after the flood, the sons of Japhet. Japhet, it may mean something that has to do with beauty. We're not quite sure. But it tells us who his sons were. And I'm going to look over here in the Chumash because it's got them all listed out here that you can just see so plainly, Gloria. His sons were Gomer, Magog, Madai, Yavan, Tubal, Meshach, and Tiras. Now, we don't know who all of these are today, but we've got an idea. Gomer can have to do with Germania, is the way you say Germany in Hebrew. Germania. So with Japhet, we kind of see that his people moved over toward Europe. Magog, Madai, that's Medes. Yavan is Greece. Tubal and Meshach are ancient names for places in Russia. Then they had children, and we see who their sons were in this Chumash. It's got them listed out. Now, for instance, Gomer, the first son of his is Ashkenaz. So all the Jews who went to Europe, especially Germany and around, they're called Ashkenazis.
Well,
so you can see this, you know, and then the Jews that were scattered to Latin countries and African countries, they're called Sephardim. Now we go to the next son, Ham. And Ham had four sons, Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. And then we see who their sons are and who came from them. We're going to be talking about Mizraim tomorrow. Mizraim is Egypt. So when Jesus said, you watch the nations when they come into the prophetic place, these are the ancient nations. Mm-hmm. These are the ones the prophets told us where they came to. You don't find much about the United States in there. I think for the United States, we've been, the church has a big place here. You want to look at the future for the church, and sheep nation status. But we're gonna talk about some of these ancient nations because they've come back to the front page of the news lately. And then Shem, and you see his first son is Elam. And Shem's son, Elam, that's the ancient name for Persia or Iran. So the Iranian people who are Persian are not of the same people as the Mizraim. Mizraim is Egypt, and that's African and Ham. But Shem, he had a son named Elam, and the Persians came from them. He had other sons, Asher, Arphaxad, Lud, and Aram. Arphaxad is the one down through whom the Jews come. We see down, he names his sons and has one named Eber, E-B-E-R. If you've got a good ear for language, you can see that that has to do with Hebrew. Eber, Hebrew. So the Hebrews came from Shem, as did the Persians, and as did the sons of Abraham that moved on over to become the Arabians.
How interesting.
So it is interesting to know who's brothers and cousins and this and that. But the main point I wanted to make from this is ancient nations, God, that's the ones we watch that the prophets talked about. Now, when they got off this boat, the Lord had told them in Genesis 9 to go throughout the whole world and replenish it. They didn't. 340 years later, they're still at one spot. That spot is now today very near, it's in Iraq, and it's near ancient Babylon. And so they went there and they started building a tower. As you know the story, you know that God came down. He didn't like their activities. He confused them and separated their languages. But a great deal of this is what Brother Copeland's been teaching a lot about lately. The Babylonian system is going to know judgment. And I do believe it's not just a city. It's a whole world system. And Babylon was the foundation of it, the basis of it all. Brother Copeland says, man trying to meet his own needs without God when he built that Tower of Babel. But the whole Babel thing begins with Nimrod. And you're going to see Nimrod. He's the son of Cush, and Cush is the son of Ham. And so we see Nimrod, verse 8, Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before Jehovah. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before Jehovah, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. And now, there's a note here in the Chumash about Nimrod. Before Nimrod, there were neither wars nor reigning monarchs. He subjugated the Babylonians until they crowned him. He had a kingdom, the Bible says. After which he went to Assyria and built great cities. The Torah calls him a mighty hunter, which Rashi and most commentators interpret figuratively. Nimrod ensnared men with his words and incited them to rebel against God. Hmm. His first conquest, which laid the basis for his subsequent empire building, was Babel, which became the center of Nebuchadnezzar's Babylonian empire. So Nimrod was the leader. I'm sure that Satan himself tempted him to build kingdoms without God.
No doubt.
And then you've got this...
Actually, every bad idea comes from him.
Every good thing cometh from the Father
That's
of lights,
right.
with whom there's no shadow of turning. And every evil thought and evil plan came from his enemy and
That's
ours,
right. That's right.
Satan, the adversary, Satan. So he tempted them, and they followed after him. But God, he wasn't surprised. He's not shocked.
Okay.
He didn't say, Jesus, I wish you would look.
They've
built a tower. They've all gathered up together there. I told them go in the whole earth. They've gathered up together there. What are we going to do now? He never has to say, what are we going to do now?
That's exactly right.
He already had a plan. And that plan involved a man who would follow him by faith. And that man, the father of our faith, is Abraham. Thank God for Abraham. He's one of the ones I want to meet first. God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees, out of the land of Babylon. And he said to him, Genesis 12:1, Now Jehovah said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show you, a promised land. I will make of you a great nation. He's just a man with a wife, Sarah. I will make of you a barren wife, by the way.
Yeah, that's right.
I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you and curse him that curses you, and in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham, he's the first Jew, and then God's going to make the nation of Israel. And the calling, the gifts and the calling upon the Jews is to reveal God to the nations. Those nations backslid, but God loves them. Our forefathers were in those. Some of us in the land, in the seat of Japhet. If you are Native American or Asian, you go back to the seat of Shem. Or if you're Egyptian or Libyan or Ethiopian or some of the others, then you go back to Ham. But most of us were over there in that rebellious bunch, our forefathers. Thank God he didn't let us go.
Amen.
Thank God he didn't let us go. He's in the business of redemption.
I don't know where I came from, but I know where I is now.
Yeah, we know. We're brand new creatures now.
That's
we're
right.
We're brand new creatures.
Hallelujah.
Because of his provision.
Amen.
But he had to work the plan. He had to get it in the earth step by step by step by step. And he imposed a rule upon himself that he was going to respond only to faith. I am sure that when the devil heard that, he did backflips.
He thought, they'll never happen.
That'll never happen. I got him now.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Little
did he know there was a man. There's a bunch of us now.
That's right.
But there was a man named Abram that just followed him, just struck out.
Just did it.
And followed him by faith. And out of this man then, he's going to make a nation whose call is to reveal himself to the nations. Now, God has to be revealed. Those nations that are backslidden over there in the Babylonian system, mm-hmm. they don't know God. And he's got to reveal himself
That's right.
To them. I mean, they can look at trees and they're supposed to be able to see, you know, you get a bud and you get a leaf. But you could end up even as they did. Worshiping the creation.
He has to be revealed.
He has to be revealed. Revelation.
That's right.
Revealed. He has to be revealed. Everything about him.
Reveal himself.
He has to reveal himself. He's a self-revelator. So he has his ways of revealing himself. One of them is through his name. In his Bible here, we see his name. Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. Jehovah, we say. The first name he revealed himself with, connected with Jehovah, you know what it was? Jehovah Rapha.
Oh,
I am the Lord
healer.
That healeth thee. The
Praise
first thing.
God.
He's also Jehovah Sitkenu, the Lord your righteousness. Jehovah Shammah, he's present. Jehovah Rohi, your shepherd and your guide. Jehovah Shalom, your peace.
Praise God.
He revealed
Thank
himself through his name. He revealed himself through his people, the Jews. He's got to reveal that he's their God, that he's their source, that he takes care of them, and all the other nations have to be able to see that. Eventually, he will be able to reveal himself through the word that he gives through his Jews.
Yes, that's
right. Every Bible book that we've got, except for the ones written by Luke, came through Jews. So they were the people, but there's just one man when he calls Abram. Just one man. But he follows God. Now, I'm going to be reading to you, and I want you to find in your own Bible, Deuteronomy 32. This is a wonderful, wonderful song of Moses. And actually, at the last verse of Deuteronomy 31, Moses spoke in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. And God had told him, you sing this song and teach him the song. So he begins with it, and in it, you have the whole history of the Jewish people. They haven't gone into the promised land yet, but God tells them what they're going to do. And so he gives them in this psalm their past, their present, and their future. It's the whole history of the Jewish people. Now, I'm going to read to you from David Barron's book, Israel and the Plan of God. Mine's an old one, so it won't look like the one you get in the package. But when it gets down to verse 8, this tells us about God's plan for Israel. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, and we know from Acts 17, 22 through 31 that God decides the boundaries of nations, and he decides when people should come forth. So when he was setting up all the geography of the earth and the history before it happened, he put the Jews right in the middle part of it because it's their job to reveal God. Verse 8, when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds or boundaries of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For Jehovah's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. Now I'm going to read to you from this book. Here we may learn the great truth, Barron writes, confirmed also in many other scriptures, that the land and people of Israel were from the very beginning the appointed center in the counsel of God for his governmental dealings with the nations of the earth. And I'm going to ask them to put up an ancient map that looks like a three-leaf clover here. The Jews regard Jerusalem as the center of the globe. Even though Israel is not exactly the physical center, it was certainly intended by God to be the moral and spiritual center of the world. But even geographically, the position of Israel is most central, and we cannot but trace definite design and a divine purpose in selecting this land as the habitation of the people who were ordained to carry the knowledge of the one true God, true and living God to all nations. In olden times, it stood midway between the three greatest nations of antiquity, Assyria, Egypt, and Greece. And it now stands as, of course, and for olden times too, access to Europe, Africa, and Asia. From earliest times, the strip of coastland was a special factor in the politics of the great world empires, which lay on the banks of the Nile and the Euphrates. And it was only as the movements of Egypt or Assyria or Medo-Persia or Greece or Rome or any other of the Gentile nations affected that land, as they were brought into touch with it, then only were they brought within range of sacred history, which is the only truthful record of events which are of permanent importance to mankind. So he placed them there, right in the middle of the three continents, and he placed them there, if you'll go to Deuteronomy 28, just a little ways from where we are, he blessed them there in that land. Every caravan driving through, every army coming through that little land bridge, they were supposed to see this blessed nation. Deuteronomy 28. And he said, if you'll obey me and what I say to do, all these blessings, verse 2, shall come upon you and overtake you if you shall hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be
God's
in the field.
Will.
All the blessings, all these blessings are things you can see. They have to do with prosperity. They have to do with health. And the people coming through then could see that Jehovah must be the true God. Because they're out worshiping the sun,
by
the moon,
signs.
The stars.
Yeah.
But no, God fixes, so they had to go through this land. He's going to bless this land. They're going to have great crops. They're going to have healthy children. And he says this, verse 10, all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of Jehovah, and they shall be afraid of you. And God will make you plenteous in goods, and on and on and on. You'll be above and not beneath, on and on. When they come through, they're supposed to say, hey, these people worship one God, and look what he does for them. Now, if you don't obey me and you go off after false gods, then we're going to go to plan B, verse 64. The Lord shall scatter you among all the people from one end of the earth to the other. And we know that that happened. But thank God there's the promise that just before the coming of the King Messiah, he will, Zechariah says, in the King James, hiss for them. In the Hebrew says, he will pipe for them. And inside the Jews, and it started with Herzl, and Heckler, the preacher, knew it was starting. And there were other Jews that were already coming home from Russia. And they began to come home from Yemen. And they began to come home from around the world. And they're coming right now. And it's the biggest sign of all.
Praise God.
Jesus is coming soon.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I'll be right back.
What's the first thing you do when you wake up? You look at the clock. Jesus is coming soon. Now is the time to wake up and get ready. Jesus said, to know the time of his return, we're to look at his clock. We're to watch the nation of Israel and all the other nations of Bible prophecy to see how close we are. The Promises of God package will show you how to do just that. This package, handpicked by guest teacher Billy Brim, contains four significant resources by credible and knowledgeable authors and speakers, each designed to help you in your study and journey to understanding Bible prophecy and God's timetable. The Prince and the Prophet by Claude Duvernoy shares an historic account of this key relationship and how it should guide our decisions today. Israel and the Plan of God by David Barron reveals the significance and purpose of Israel's timeline from beginning to end. His Healing Power by Dr. Lillian Yeomans and Know Him as Healer by Gloria Copeland will teach you about God's plan for your health. You can be healed now and live without sickness and pain. Jesus is coming, and you can be ready. Order the Promises of God package today for only $44 and enjoy a 30% savings. This package contains three books by authors Duvernoy, Barron, and Yeomans, plus Gloria Copeland's healing message on DVD entitled Know Him as Healer. For additional discounts and 48-hour processing, order online at kcm.org or call 800-600-7395. For these and other ministry resources from Kenneth Copeland Ministries, go to kcm.org.
Must get this package. We have to know what's going on.
Yes, we do.
We cannot be in the dark right now. Listen to this by David Barron, this book by him. God's Word by itself is sure and certain and needs no further confirmation, but being minded in His infinite grace to show more abundantly into the heirs of promise the immutability or the surety of His covenant or His counsel, that they might have strong consolation or encouragement, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us, He condescended to embody His Word in the concrete, I like this, concrete form of a covenant. Concrete, sure. And to confirm it with an oath. He made a covenant, and then He swore to it. Glory to God. That is Israel and the plan of God. The Prince and the Prophet is extremely interested about, what was this
contains some of the fleshing out of bringing the Jews home.
And then
through Herzl and Heckler.
Lillian B. Yeomans, Brother Hagin used to teach us about her. His Healing Power, you got to get that. And somehow I got into this superb offer. I'm so honored to be here.
It is an honorable offer.
But it says, Know Him as Healer by Gloria Copeland, DVD. We want to send it to you, and you just order it. We're going to pray for you today. Father, in the name of Jesus, Billy and I intercede for every person listening. We ask you, Lord, on all of our behalf, we include ourselves in it, that you enlighten us, that you give us light concerning the Word of God, and teach us by your Spirit so we walk accurately and powerfully in these days. We love you, Lord. Thank you for giving us Jesus. Thank you for the Spirit of God living in us to teach us. What an honor and a privilege. And we give you all the praise, and we yield ourselves to you to do your will. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Glory to God. We're going to have a meeting, Southwest Believers Convention, July the 4th through the 9th. These are new dates for you in Fort Worth, Texas. There is a guarantee with it. You will be fed the Word of God. Morning, afternoon, and night.
And you can get healing.
And you can be healed. We'll have a healing all week, but on Saturday we have healing service. Jesus always comes. Miracles and healings always happen. So we want you to plan. Believers will be there from around the world, which is an experience in itself. You'll meet people from all over the world. Hallelujah. So if you want more details on the meeting about speakers and registration, pre-service, prayer, children and youth services, go to kcm.org. Billy and I are coming back tomorrow.
Yes.
You do not want to miss this.
No.
This is Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim reminding you that
Jesus is Lord and He's coming soon.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit kcm.org. Come to these exciting meetings. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland will be in Langley, British Columbia for the Canada Victory Campaign, celebrating 35 years in Canada, May 12th through 14th at the Langley Event Center. The Southwest Believers Convention will be held the 4th through 9th of July, 2011 at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas, with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and their special guests. Join Kenneth Copeland for the Venezuela Victory Campaign in Maracaibo, Estado de Zulia, Venezuela, August 26th and 27th. Kenneth Copeland and Dr. Stephen and Kelly Swisher invite you to the Behind the Mission Weekend in New Jersey, September 16th and 17th at the Meadowlands Exposition Center. Pastor Terry Pearsons will be at the Toronto Spirit-Led Prayer Conference, September 28th through 30th, Toronto, Ontario, Canada. For more information on these and other KCM meetings, call 800-600-7395. That's 800-600-7395. Or visit our website at kcm.org. No matter where you are, if you have internet access, you are seconds away from life-changing answers thanks to the power of search at kcm.org. It's easy. Just find this keyword search block, enter a word, speaker name, topic, or scripture. Search gives you instant 24/7 access to more than 40 years of revelation and inspiration from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Try keyword search today at kcm.org.